You're listening to a Rig Train Masterclass, supported by the Radio Independence Group and Creative Skillset, independent training for the UK radio production industry.
Welcome to the Five Live. This goes out on Five Live on Sunday evenings at 7:30 most weeks to 10 o'clock, and we run down the top 14 news stories of the week as online. So where did this come from? Well, interestingly, Five Live asked us, they asked much less, but other producers, they wanted to have a radio show. If BuzzFeed made radio, what would it be like? And I work with my business partner, Matthew Bannister, and between us we're 100. So this is not naturally our territory, so we scratched our heads quite a lot, and we thought, well, how are things now? What are things, I use a lot of Facebook, he uses a lot of Twitter, how have things changed? And in a way we felt that the old way, the way that I'd made news programmes through the 90s and 2000s, was that we had editors, and they went, right, today we're doing this. And we all made our programmes, then we looked at what everybody else was making, and we thought, well, we'd better do a bit like them. And, oh, they're doing this over there, Sky doing this, the same programme doing this, well, we'll do this, which is a little bit different, but almost the same. And it all came out with a kind of homogenous, this is what's on the radio news today, and we all agreed, and it was all lovely. And it's just not like that anymore, because when I open my phone, we have all sorts of stuff, and I'm much more in control. I can choose what I want to look at, so I tend to look at lots of stuff about cricket. So you don't have to, but you people are choosing their own agendas, and so everybody's got a different one. And when you try to work out, well, and the way BuzzFeed is kind of an emblem of that, it picks up, as you were saying, Holly, it picks up everybody's agendas and creates things for them. So how do we work that out? And we had several goes at this, and we got absolutely nowhere, until somebody thought of a chart show, which actually is a really old radio concept. If you put a really old radio concept on this stuff, it's quite interesting because you can do something that feels like it's new, new social media. This is the actual slide we show Five Live, so it works. We know it works, the radio format. We know chart shows work because you just can't help but go, I wonder what is the next one. You kind of draws you in. Sunday night, we all knew, was chart show night, so that works. This is the kind of review of the week. And also it sort of looks ahead to the next week because it gets you ready for the next week, because you can then go to the next day at work and you can say, well, you never guess what I heard last night. So it was kind of something that felt like it picked up what was going on, but was also a bit surprising. And also, here we go, who's that snackable earlier on? It's got all the things in it, isn't it? So we thought there were things we could do then, which other people would then share. And so it felt like this was also in this world. So we came up with what we called at the time the Top 40 Social Media Chart Show, but became the Five Live Hit List. So how do we do it? Well, we weren't in any position to do it at all, so we tried to find some experts, and we found these guys who work for Cosmos. Cosmos is a combined online social media observatory, which is a team of people. Some of them are computer scientists, some of them are social scientists. They work at Warwick and St Andrews and Cardiff, so they're blue ribbons, they actually know what they're talking about. And because they really care that everybody else knows what they're talking about, they do it reasonably cheaply, so we'd have to pay for some amazingly expensive commercial analysis. And the man on the right is Rob Proctor. He's not actually quite that fuzzy, but he is kind of classic, old-style presenter, old-style professor. He's from Warwick, and this is Alex from St Andrews. And I said to them, well, could you make me a chart? And they said, yes. I said, how? And then they explained, and that was quite tricky. So I asked them again, and they explained again, and they said, could you draw me a picture? Here's the picture. So, they started really with Twitter, because Twitter was the thing they worked on a lot before. They did a lot of stuff on the London riots. So they were the people who did a big thing on what people were saying to each other on social media and the riots, and Twitter was a big part of that. And they collect bits of Twitter, and also they collect bits of YouTube and Google searches, and then they make kind of counters, so they try and pull things together. So when you look at Twitter, there are different stories which seem to be very different, but because they will look for what coalesces, what becomes clusters, they call them. So you might pick Waterloo anniversary, and you might have Napoleon. Actually, they will discover Napoleon and Waterloo go together. And so they begin to form clusters around those and create the stories that are actually pulling everything together on social media. And then they looked at all the different retweets, replies, and links. And also the other thing they did, which is very clever, was they kind of created a kind of an archive, which meant that they could take out some of the stuff that's just always there. There are always tweets about Justin Bieber there. What we were trying to find out was when that became actually a story, when that bumped up over the kind of the blur. iPad games, I seem to remember, was very big in the early days, you know, because some people just talk about iPad games all the time, but it's not really news. But what we can, what, because they've got an archive, they can see when you get a spike and when actually something is happening in that area. Everything is British. This is all about what British people are doing. Sometimes we say, are you sure? Because actually things are often quite American, but they really are just British tweets, British Facebooks, British Google searches, British YouTube videos. And then we kind of stick it together to create our top 40. So this is our top 40. I couldn't fit the top 40 in. This is our top 10 from 2 weeks ago. So if you look on the right, there's a Facebook line, a YouTube line, a Google Trends line, and a Twitter line. And they kind of put it together to create an overall score. So 2 weeks ago, our number one was Charleston shooting, an American story, as I was saying. So it was big on Twitter. It was reasonably, people were searching for Charleston quite a bit, and it was very big on Facebook. There was a big thing there. So that became our top story. And then you get these things that, you know, are really surprising. I mean, I don't know how many of you were aware of the E3 Electronic Entertainment Expo. That's a big thing on social media. It's one of the computer games people coming together. And sometimes we'll pick up on that and do a story about it because it must be interesting to somebody, mustn't it? So going down the list, Game of Thrones has been very big for us. Five Sauce, you remember the boy had his hair went on fire at a concert, so all his fans were tweeting, including my daughter. Ramadan was big. Climate change, this is the Pope actually, the Pope doing his encyclical was really big. Austerity, we know. Jurassic World, I went to see that. Orange is the New Black was big, and Magna Carta. So I think the thing about this is, this is not a running order from the average news programme that day. It's different. It has been chosen by people. All these things are actually really interesting. And we know they're interesting. They might all be interesting to you personally. We know they're interesting to somebody because these are the things that are coming out of social media. So we think we've got a programme that actually is really surprising, which is kind of the aim, really, on a Sunday evening, is to surprise people. Give them something they don't know. Give them something they aren't talking about already. Don't bore them. So I'm no expert on any of this, but I have read one good book, so I thought I'd share the good book I've read about it. It's a man called Jonah Berger. He wrote a book called Contagious. He said the things that people share, which is obviously the heart of this, have a bunch of reasons. Triggers is about the fact that sometimes if we see something all the time, that makes it more likely we'll share things. So his example of that was, I think that when there's a NASA mission on, people are more likely to buy Mars bars. You know, just if things are around a lot, people will get it. Emotional resonance, I think, is really important. I'll come back to that one. Observability, his example about that is Lance Armstrong's yellow wristband. The reason why that worked partly was because yellow is quite an unusual colour, and so people really noticed it. You know, things that are really noticeable work. Usefulness, sometimes you just share stuff about what the best Hoover is. You know, people like telling people things are actually quite helpful in their lives. And storytelling. So to me, the two key things that come out of this are emotional resonance and storytelling. This is what we do. This is really important in making great radio programs. But this, in a way, yeah, I mean, you can't kind of work this out for yourself in a way, although he has lots of good evidence about it. But there's a bit which I never thought of before. It's not as simple as what makes you happy or what makes you sad. Actually, there's something else going on here. So there's kind of two states you were in. For instance, if you go for a run, quite often at the end of a run, you have an irresistible urge to share stuff on Facebook because you're feeling so, I'm really feeling up, I'm feeling great, I'm going to share some really interesting stuff I've been thinking while I was going for my run. It doesn't always work. But when you're highly aroused, then that's when you're most likely to share stuff. That's when things you will send out to people. And there are a bunch of states, so these are, this kind of happy, sad, if you like, but there's also high arousal, low arousal. So when you feel awe or excitement or you're really laughing out loud, you're likely to share it. But also, it's not as simple as positive things. When you're feeling angry or disgust, you also share stuff. It's also when you're really trying to reach out to people. This is why question time is quite often in my charts. It's because people get really angry by some of these people saying this stuff. And so they go, I can't believe that politician said this. Whereas what doesn't really work is kind of just relaxed and contented and or feeling a bit sad, that's not enough. You need to have a thing that makes your heart go a bit. It makes you feel stuff. For us, our program is all about social media, if you like, but our audience is not necessarily. So I hope they like the stories and find the You Live Dog Meat Festival interesting, but I'm not necessarily expecting them to be that big on social media themselves. They don't have to be. And the average age for Five Live listener in my slot is 53. So they're quite likely not to be particularly. So what we do is we augment what we do with our tweets, but we aren't expecting that much. We aren't trying to make a big Five Live at this brand. In fact, what we're mostly trying to do is to fit in with Five Live. We're trying to be a Five Live good citizen who fits in with what they do, but do it maybe a bit better than sometimes they do it. So I have a very good person who works for me, who knows this stuff. She tweets very well, she writes very well for this sort of stuff, and on Sunday evenings she does this stuff. But I don't let her do too much because I need a program made, and that's more important to me. So for half of a shift I do tweets, and we put pictures and things, but it's only like, I don't know, 20th of what we actually do. It's not the most important thing. We try and do it well, and there's lots of material. So this was a thing, it's a boy who sang the national anthem, and I thought maybe actually pride might be one of those things. If you're feeling a bit of pride, you'll like to share this sort of stuff. We're not talking huge numbers, they're not setting the world alight, but there he is. And also Anissa, who does this for me, she writes very kind of BuzzFeed-y language. It's not that straight. It's actually a little bit different from the Five Live tone, I would say. It's trying to be somewhere between there and full BuzzFeed, if you like.
You've been listening to a Rig Train Masterclass, supported by the Radio Independence Group and Creative Skillset, independent training for the UK radio production industry.